Hello and welcome to It's Not My Fault, the OSG podcast is not popular. Episode 57. We try to talk about anime and manga, like you've probably heard that one too many times. So I'm just gonna stop that. Name's Justin.
And I'm Helen.
Do you think people actually mind if I always remind them that we talk about like anime, manga news, all that stuff? No?
It would be a little surprising if someone managed to forget it and yet was still subscribed to this podcast.
Yeah, good point. Woohoo! Summer season's here! Yay! And yep. I have something to admit.
I think you already admitted it to me, so just admit it to our listeners, Justin.
I'm taking a little bit of a break from watching seasonal anime.
But you do this like every other season, Justin.
No. I'm literally making sure I'm not watching that much this season. I wanted to keep up with the stuff that I'm already watching, like Gegege no Kitaro and Detective Conan, stuff like that stuff. And I'm also going to pick up the shows I've already seen before, so that means Attack on Titan Season 3 and then Gintama, stuff like that. I'm aiming for like 4 or 5 new shows this season. That is my aim. And that's it. Not watching anything else. I'm avoiding all the Amazon shows because I'm going to cancel my Amazon subscription at some point.
But the Amazon Prime subscription is really good, Justin.
I don't care. Going to cancel that. I'll just hear all the disparate opinions about that and any other Amazon show they have. That's what I will do instead. But okay, since you are keeping up with the summer season, the summer anime on Amazon, how are they actually?
Let's see, the only two I've seen from Amazon are Banana Fish and Seven Senses of Reunion. And Seven Senses is sort of like What If Anohana, but sort of trapped in MMORPG like Dot Hack Sign. Sort of.
Dot Hack Sign and what?
Anohana.
Huh. Oh, is that good?
I'm not continuing with it after the first episode, so it wasn't good enough for me.
Oh, okay. Dang. Well, what would it... Did it look bad? It was just...
Like, the whole premise is that you've got this guild of kids, and they're playing in this VR MMORPG, and it's this weird game where it's like, if you die in the game, like, your account is deleted and you're forcibly logged off, which is a really weird selling point. And so these kids are really good, and then they're in a dungeon, and like, one of their characters dies, so they're like, okay, and then they go to talk to her a few days later, and they find out that, like, in real life, she had a heart attack, like, almost immediately afterwards and died, and they're all in, like, elementary school and torn up about it. So then the rest of the first episode is, like, the main guy from that is getting dragged into this new VR MMORPG, which is sort of built off of the old system. So you, like, needed an old system account and some sort of, like, special ability that's not explained yet to even get into the game, which I think you also lose, like, your account if you die. And he's doing a quest and he finds, like, his friend's old avatar locked up in a chest, sort of like Outlaw Star or Firefly, and she seems to have the personality and everything, so it's kind of like a ghost in the machine. The first episode was way slower than that makes it sound, though. It was way more dull.
Oh. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt with one anime I watched. That would be Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs.
I told you you were going to watch that.
Well, I knew that I was going to watch that. But before that, I ended up reading the manga, because I was like, oh yeah, let me check out the... Look, if we've heard the history behind this series, it's obviously a Shonen Jump title that Viz didn't seem interested in bringing over. So all of a sudden, Seven Seas, after years and years saying they can never actually license stuff from Shueisha, they licensed that.
It basically forced them to create their ghost ship line, too, didn't
yes.
it?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they'll say that's official or anything like that. But that's what they stuck it on. Like, they stuck that into Love Ru on that line. So, yeah, I was... As soon as that happened, I was like, okay, it's been like this crazy, supposed ecchi harem type of, like, it's gotta be so raunchy that even Viz passed on it. Although I think Viz is, I guess Viz is looking for a different type of, like, harem-ish type of romance. Well, they don't pick up that much anyway, so.
I mean, they definitely have some harem titles, like Nisekoi and We Never Learn.
Yeah, but then, like, it feels like, well, and also, I guess, granted, there hasn't been that many those types of shows, that type of works in Shonen Jump, if I'm not mistaken, in the past couple years or so. That are good, I should also add. Like, some harem stuff has definitely come and gone on Shonen Jump. But I read the first volume, and it had some energy. It was decent enough. It was fun. Then I go watch the anime, and it is kind of stale. I ended up tweeting out, like, how they kind of made, like, Yuna in the 70s version be like Velma in a way.
Yeah, I saw
those
tweets.
Jinkies, and I was like, what the heck? Why are you Velma? But it's just like there's more personality in this version of Yuna than the anime version, where the same line is said and it's so rote and so dry. the unfortunate part is the funny part happens basically at the end of the first episode, and that's not a good sign. It also doesn't look very good either. That is all bad signs. So yeah. I'm pretty just tempted to say, just like, if you're obviously into harems at all, then obviously you should pick it up into that. But if not, ignore it completely.
Yeah, so the other show I've seen on Amazon is Banana Fish, which you should not be ignoring if gritty shoujo crime dramas are your thing. It's based off of a manga which ran in the 80s through the 90s. It had like 19 volumes. And so it's sort of updated for the modern day. So the characters aren't like set in the 80s, like they've got cell phones and everything. But still feels a lot more like, I think, New York of the 80s than like New York today, since there's like rampant violence and gangs, which I am told does not exist in New York today.
Probably doesn't.
Or at least not probably to this level. Doesn't. Yeah, so the basic plot is that you've got this, like, 17-year-old gang kingpin, basically, named Ash, and he's gonna be interviewed by, like, this photographer and his assistant from Japan. The assistant's name is Eiji, and he's 19, and he's super cute. He's just so cute. And Eiji accidentally gets caught up in the dramas, and, by the end of the second episode, Ash is going to jail already, and we've already had one character die, and I'm enjoying it. It's definitely fast-paced. I'm a little nervous since it's a Noitamina show, so they're only going to have 22 episodes to try and cover, like, it looks like probably the full 19 volumes of the manga, which is tight, and it's really fast-paced already. But I'm enjoying it. It looks great. I think the director is the lady who directed the first 2 seasons of Free. So it looks really nice. It's going at a really fast pace. I'm just really annoyed at everybody on Twitter who's like, oh, you sweet summer children, you don't even know what pain is yet. And it's like, guys, you can say, hey, the show is gritty and has all these trigger warnings, but please don't condescend with, oh, you're already getting sad over character deaths. You shouldn't yet. Like, fuck off.
Wow, you sound mad about that.
I just get really mad when people condescend being like, oh, you shouldn't care about this character death. It's like, I don't care if I damn want to. But yeah, watch Banana Fish, just leave one of those people on Twitter. And it's funny because I posted that on Twitter and I had some manga fans coming to me being like, geez, that totally would have killed my interest in the series if I'd seen people talking about it like that when I started reading the series. Oh, and I guess we could slip a bit of news in now is that
this announced, that like,
I mean, I might as well do it now since we're talking about Banana Fish. It's that Viz announced on the day that Banana Fish was dropping the anime that, oh yeah, we're gonna reprint the manga, and they were super vague about it.
Super vague. I'm watching the broadcast because they had like a live stream and everything, and they say, oh yeah, we're gonna bring back Banana Fish, it's out in stores and whatever. And I'm like, is this a reprint? Is it back in digital? And I had to go to the website to figure out what the heck was going on, and they have a website, but then, you know, have you tried to like buy any of the volumes yet?
Not yet, no. Actually, I saw the announcement through Twitter, and they were really vague. I had to go directly to the Shoujo Beat Twitter, who was saying it's a reprint, not a retranslation or anything like that. And I didn't even pick up that it wasn't a digital release. I thought they were doing digital and print, which is a problem since for manga in your ears, we were actually going to talk about Banana Fish on the next episode. But then we realized, oh, it's not actually digital. It's not back in print yet. So me and possibly April wouldn't be able to get volumes in time, so we had to change up our plans. Corey is all set because Dana already owns all 19 volumes of Banana Fish, but... but well, yeah, they were super vague about it, and like I was tweeting angrily about it, and then when I saw the information, I retweeted that, but people kept responding to my angry tweets. I actually had to delete that tweet just so people would like... I'm like, okay, if apparently people are not looking at the rest of my tweets to see if this happens, I'm just gonna have to delete this tweet. You guys are too irresponsible for this. But yeah, they were super vague about it, but it is coming back. And it's the newer version of Banana Fish they put out, the one where it wasn't flipped and all that jazz. But I don't think this is the version that Rachel Thorne translated some volumes of. So I don't know how this is going to go down since Banana Fish
is also... I believe
it is,
actually.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Since she said she translated 5 volumes of at least one of the versions. And I was like, I'd be okay if she was doing it because Banana Fish is hella queer. Like, that opening song is very, very gay. And so I kind of want someone who's... sensitive to queer issues, you know?
You can only hope, right?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, if you watch the opening song, like, with the subtitles on, since Amazon subtitled the song, holy shit, that's gay. And I posted that to Twitter, and people are like, yeah, it's been a bunch. I'm like, guys, no, you don't understand. This is not even, like, subtextually gay. This is, like, gay.
Yeah, I was... pretty disappointed. I was actually kind of disappointed at how they announced it, though.
Yeah.
It was just super... like, they've done better than that.
You guys can at least say imprint or reprint, or you guys can at least put more words in. You did not come up against the 280-word counter on Twitter.
And, I'm gonna elaborate. If you go to the website and try to buy any of the volumes, like, some of them are, like, kind of, like, either unavailable or... they're set at the $9.95 price, which is on the biz site, but you have to like wait a while because it's out of stock. And then if you click like on some random volume, you get buying options from other sellers. So I feel like, I don't know if they just did this the last minute. I think it was a Tumblr post by Shoujo Beat saying that they put in the reprint. They asked for a reprint for the series a while ago, so some retailers should be reprinting the series. But I don't know, this feels like kind of a chaotic, like, this is a bit of a messy announcement. Considering it's Viz, it's very messy.
I mean, Viz's coordination between anime and manga departments isn't always great, and they don't have the anime, but for God's sake, whenever, like, Seven Seas or Young Press has an anime that's coming out, you know, they always promote the heck out of the manga versions they have, you know, and they do it in advance. They don't do it the day of and slip it in, you know. They understand marketing synergy, and it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, I'm still mad. You talk about another anime while I get less mad.
Okay, I'll talk about Cells at Work. That should make you less mad, right?
I didn't see that one, so I'm definitely not going to get more mad.
Okay, well, you should see it. It's kind of, well...
But it's just
nice.
Osmosis Jones, the anime.
Hey, I haven't watched Osmosis Jones. I think the last time I watched Osmosis Jones was somewhere like when I was like 9 or 10.
The cartoon or the live action movie that came
definitely
first?
The cartoon. Both? It's been so long. It really has been. But yeah, it's basically red blood cells, white blood cells, dealing with bacteria, lots of chaotic elements, and lots of blood, just lots of fighting. What? Why?
Yeah, that sounds like my body. Lots of blood, yeah, lots of fighting.
Yes. It wasn't quite that funny, but it's definitely one of the better looking shows I watched so far. It's pretty amusing. I think it's pretty well paced and everything. I think it's definitely one of the better shows of the season. This is by I should have checked to see who's actually directing it and everything, but I know the studio is David Productions. They kind of work with some good stuff. So I think this is going to be a really good show this summer. I think it's going to be a little funnier as well. So, if you haven't watched Cells at Work, I think you should take a chance. It's definitely, this is also another anime book show, and yeah, I feel like this there's been a bit more effort and attention to this than Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. It's not good, guys. It's not good. Get your crap together. Get together.
We're so judgmental on this podcast. It's great. Yeah, so let's see. Oh, one more show I'm watching that you probably haven't seen since it's on High Dive is Starlight Review. Review? Or either that or it's Review Starlight. I can't remember which way the English title goes.
Okay.
But it's not about Takarazaku Zuko, the theater, but it's similar. It's kind of this idea of like, oh, there's all these girls and they're at this school, you know, to learn stagecraft and acting and all that stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a little reminiscent of Love Live. And then the last 5 minutes of it are like pure Penguin drums. And it's the director of this show worked heavily with Ukuhara on Penguin Drum and I think Yurikuma Arashi as well. And this is part of a multimedia project, if I'm remembering right, so it's not like it has a specific source material. I think everything's kind of being developed at once. But oh man, it was pretty great just to see like all these visual references where you're like, wow, something's great. Ikuhara related, I'm so here. It is just pretty great. And so, I'm excited for that. But I'm not saying the first episode was straightforward, but the first episode hasn't given me a lot to talk about. I've definitely enjoyed, like, watching the gist of it. But yeah, that one I'm down for, I'm here for. But I just don't have much to say on it yet, except for, this is great, this is exactly one of the things I love to watch.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh wait, do you have High Dive now, or...?
I do.
Because High Dive is cheaper than Amazon, I'm guessing?
Yeah, and I locked in, like, I had the, was it $3.99 price, or was it $4.99? No, it was $3.99, right?
That was the cheaper price, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one I locked into for, because 2 years, right?
1 year.
So, those two. Alright, never mind. But yeah, I basically just locked into that for now, so... Yeah, I could check it out. I'll see. I don't know. I think I'm comfortable just having lesser shows this season.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we always flip-flop back on this. Like, there'll be one season where you're watching everything and I'm watching not much, and then we'll just reverse season, and then we'll flip back the season after that.
One day, eventually I'll stop doing that after I catch up to everything I'm behind on.
I don't think that's actually possible, you know.
I'm gonna do it.
Speaking
I'm
from
gonna,
experience
I'm
as an
I'm going to
fan.
Do it. Just gonna find a way. Another show that I am watching, at least for now, is Harukana Receive.
Oh, I'm watching that one too.
Beach Volleyball! And it's actually not bad?
It's not as much fan service as I expected. There was definitely more in the second episode, but still, like, it's not like titties going flying everywhere or something.
It's like, hey, it's Beach Volleyball. It's actually showing what it's actually mostly about. Although I think it's just mostly about, someone new coming back and learning, like, oh wait, why don't you play volleyball anymore? What's with this rivalry and this, what's wrong with being an ace? What's going on here?
Yeah, and also it's got the whole thing where the main character isn't a complete newcomer, since she knows like how regular volleyball works, but now she's having to learn all the ways that beach volleyball is different, like how your feet get caught in the sand and you have to account for the wind speed and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a neat touch. That was neat.
Yeah, that was definitely cool.
And I actually kind of laughed when she said that. I was like, yes, beach volleyball and regular volleyball is definitely the same. Mm-hmm. Definitely the same. No, not quite. Definitely going to give that the 3-episode test, but I don't know if I'm going to continue after that, but it's definitely enough where I could just... I'm definitely going to check out more of it. At least see a couple... At least the first 3 episodes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep watching it for now. Like, beach volleyball is never a sport I've paid much attention to since, let's be frank, it seems like an excuse for people to watch ladies run around in bikinis. Ladies who are very good at their sport, but...
Yes, but like, you better say that.
Oh yeah, they are definitely good at their sport, like the people on the Olympic level and everything. But you look at their uniforms, you know, uniforms which they have to wear because someone else has decided it, and it's like, that is not a lot of clothing. You are being so sunburned today.
Well, they make sure they put the sunscreen on and everything, right?
Okay, let me tell you, Justin, sometimes sunscreen is not enough.
Alright.
Let me tell you, as someone who is very pale.
Do you go to the beach a lot, or a decent amount?
I avoid the beach for this reason.
Oh. I was going to say, because I can't remember the last time I even been to the beach. But what kind of maybe, you know, with the, when it was just like, just getting into the sand and stuff like that, it kind of made me think, man, it's been a while since I've been to the beach. Maybe I should go at some point in the near future.
And I know that there are some folks on the site who really like Okinawa, so. Yeah, and so then, like, the last of the three shows that are, like, my top favorite shows in the season so far is Planet With, which is, it's an original show, but it's being put out at the same time that a manga by Satoshi Mizukami is coming out. And he did, like, 1,000 pages of storyboards, basically, for the show and all of that jazz. So this is very much something he's a part of. And I like him. I liked Spirit Circle a lot. I came around on Biscuit Hammer. It's really good. And, oh man, these first two episodes are, like, pure Mizukami. It's, like, there are so many things in there where it's, like, ah, yes, we have a main character who seems to be actually more on the side of the villains, but it's all ambiguous. Yep, that sounds like it. You know, like, groups of characters that seem to sort of break molds and stereotypes while at the same time filling them. Yep, it's like, I'm just down for this. And even after the second episode, there's just so much I want to talk about with my friends and be like, oh, they said these things. Do you think it means this or this, you know? What do you think is metaphorical? What do you think is literal here? So I am very happy with the series so far.
And it's actually I actually read the first chapter of the manga.
Are you sure? Because when I went to read it on the Crunchyroll manga, it was turned to the page of the spread, and I was like, oh, Justin only read far enough to get a picture of the spread to put in the tweets.
No, I finished it. I finished it. Actually, honestly, the twist at the end caught me off guard. It's like, oh yeah, these seven people are gonna stop this really creepy looking thing from terrorizing the town or city, and then all of a sudden, you're supposed to stop those seven people. You're what?
No, that would have been way too straightforward for a Mizukami story.
It's like, wait, what? So yeah, actually. I was like, that actually made me interested in the anime. They actually did. And I definitely want to keep up with the manga for sure. It just depends on when Crunchyroll decides they want to put it up.
Yeah, since they said they're going to simul-pub that, Homes of Kyoto and another thing for the season.
Crossing Time,
thank you.
Don't make me go across the internet. Don't make me go over there.
Yeah, and there's already four chapters of Planet With out, so it's like, eh. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that series, and I'm really happy about it. Like, I've never been as salty that Spirit Circle and Biscuit Hammer never got anime, probably because I just came into Biscuit Hammer after the salt had been spread. But I'm very happy to see this, and I'm hoping it gets more people reading those manga and being like, what is this?
Well, maybe Spirit Circle. And I guess maybe Biscuit Hammer, because it's on Crunchyroll. But I heard the manga's out of print.
Yeah, definitely some of the volumes are out of print. I noticed it when I was on Bright Stuff the other day. But they're both still on Crunchyroll. And it's not like you can't find used copies.
Still.
What, do you have something against used manga, Justin?
Nah, not really. No, seriously, I don't. I had the wise smile on my face.
I don't want to know what that smile means. Just keep talking, Justin.
Well, the only thing I honestly really talk about is something I meant to talk about last time, but you know what? We had enough spring stuff to, we really did.
Have oh, a, and I forgot one last time, too.
Spring anime to talk about. So I ended up just watching, I've been watching Fully Cooly Progressive, which is obviously the sequel to Fully Cooly, and big obviously news will be on Adult Swim, the English dub. No subtitles, no English subtitles, no Japanese subtitles are coming out until, like, what, the fall? I think sometime in like October or November, something like that. It's a ways away, which is super rare. Actually, I think it's probably like one of the first to do that too. Now that I think about it, was that Space Dandy? Well, I think they had the both out, right?
Yeah, I think for Space Dandy, like the English dub was coming out like the same day the Japanese dub was coming out in Japan.
Yeah, and that was and that's super rare too.
Yeah, that was basically like the first in the modern era of simul dubbing. Since it only been attempted like once before, I think, with like Kurokami or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. That's right. So yeah, just you talk about some pressure, and as I'm watching Fully Cooly Progressive from like week to week, and unfortunately I have to, because of work, I couldn't watch it all the time, like live on TV. I feel like the series is fun. I feel like it's colorful, and obviously it kind of takes me a little bit back to the original Fully Cooly one, especially when it harkens back to like certain cues. Like there's a part where you have the Lupin parody scene. You could totally tell what channel is that in one of the episodes of this new one. But I don't know. I didn't really feel like it really... I didn't feel like it was that great. I didn't feel like it really... Like, it just was there. It didn't really manage to tell a coherent story or anything like that. And in the way it ended, it was kind of like... It feels like a little... There should have been more. Something about it just didn't... It didn't work. And I don't know if it's just because it was dubbed. I'm definitely going to watch it when it gets subbed, for sure. I don't know if it's just, like, certain things that just didn't get worked in the script well enough. I don't know. I don't know. Just didn't... I hesitate to say it's not bad. I just wouldn't say it's good or as great as the original, for sure.
Yeah, I was never a fan of even the original Fully Cooly, so I'm just passing off all the new ones.
You have bad taste, so what can I say?
Justin, it's a series about someone sexually awakening and interested in sex.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
Are you telling me that first show wasn't horny as hell?
I mean, I've watched that like a million times, maybe, but it was on Adult Swim, so what can I say?
I'm sure the first episode had a metaphor for a dick going out of the guy's head.
Maybe? Because he got a... Yeah, maybe. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't. Maybe this young guy... Maybe he didn't. I'm kidding. All right.
Well, I also forgot to talk about a spring show last week because I just forgot to write it down on the script.
Yes. You pulled one of my numbers. That's
what
you did.
Well, the thing was, I was away from the internet for a couple of days, so I couldn't torrent Hisomasa, and so I didn't think to write it down in time.
So you get pirating.
Yeah, because that show still isn't coming out on Netflix till September 21st. I'm still mad about this. I'm going to rewatch it as soon as it comes out on Netflix.
You better.
I was pretty happy with this Bones original anime written by Mario Okada about a bunch of girls piloting dragons. Like, that is very much my jam. Although I was chatting with a friend and we were both agreeing, we were kind of glad this wasn't simulcast, actually, since the discourse around Mario Okada shows are already... kind of bad. Sometimes like, people are always nitpicking at what she does, rightly or wrongly, and this is a series where it directly touches on the idea of romance, and can you have romance, and balance it for work at the same time, and all that jazz, and we were just like, oh my god, we dodged a bullet here, this week, so I don't listen to it for 12 straight weeks. I love the show, and I recommend it. I'm just glad I did not have to deal with any sort of fandom for it, since... You know, if a show doesn't get simulcast these days, it basically dies in the U.S.
Yeah, it feels like it, right? Although, I don't know. It's like, when you see, like, the popular Land of the Lustrous and...
That was simulcast.
Yeah, it was simulcast, but then, like, it was on Amazon. Oh, I see what you're... Oh, you know what? I see what you're talking about. Yeah. Never mind. That's my bad.
Yeah, since it's still simulcast there, but Netflix just doesn't do it at all. Like, I've seen some people talk about Violet Evergarden, and some people talk about Little Witch Academia. But I definitely feel like I've seen fewer people talk about both of those than
including me. True story. I read the manga of Little Witch Academia, and I was like, you know what? I really gotta watch the anime now.
I mean, I still haven't watched Violet Evergarden, but my roommate has. Yeah, so I forgot to talk about that one last week, and then after we recorded last week, I saw the fireworks movie, since... I entered one of those giveaways for tickets, and I actually won, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll just go to the theater by my mom's house.
Yeah, go
right
do it.
Right before 4th of July, and I went into it with, like, no expectations. And so I come back, my mom's being nice, she's like, oh, how did the movie go? And I was like, I was ready to go, no expectations. That was not good. It was kind of like Akane Monogatari met up with the girl who left through time and stole some visual cues, but none of the things that made the stories interesting. I didn't like Mocking Monogatari a lot at all. I've seen the whole first season. This was just so dull. Also, it kept weirdly sexualizing its female main character, and I don't know how old she was, but she was under 16, and it kept, like, framing her as a seductress, which drove the boy to keep jumping back through time and time again to try and find some good ending for their lives. Like, both the way it, like, showed her role in the story and the way the character, the way the camera, like, physically looked at her. So that made me very uncomfortable.
So basically, like, as you said, the Monogatari series, which is nowhere near as good.
Yeah, like, at least the Monogatari series, it sounds like in some areas, like, the story does sound like it's really interesting, engaging, just not the bits I watched. And then I've seen some people be like, oh, is it like your name? It's like, really? It's a lot more like The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, with this idea of time leaping back and forth. And even some of the movements, like, there's like throwing motion usually associated with going back through time, which reminded me a lot of the literal leaping in The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. So yeah, that one was not worth my time. I'm glad I did not have to take the movie to go to
Oh, that's disappointing. Yeah. Mostly because, yeah, it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I feel like almost every film I've seen in theaters this year so far has been anime, actually. Which is just kind of funny, but it's so hard to see anime films otherwise. Like, you either have to catch it in the theater, or you have to buy, like, the entire DVD Blu-ray set when it comes out. You don't usually have any in between. Like, I get tons of stuff out of my library, but my library doesn't usually cover anime. Usually I have streaming services for that, but that doesn't... Movies don't usually stream.
Yeah, they don't.
Have you run out of shows to talk about?
Yes. Like I said, there's only a couple more shows I'm going to watch. Planet Whiff is definitely one of the shows I'm going to watch. Chia School World? Road. I'm going to check out. And, shoot, what was it? Oh, Asobi. Make sure I get the name
Asobi,
right.
Asobase.
That's the one, because I heard that was getting pretty good reviews, so I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I saw the screenshots from both of those, but neither of those seemed like my kind of thing, so I'm not going to try them out. And also, honestly, I've already tried out so many things. Like, I've gone ahead and I've dropped some things already. Just after one episode, I was like, this is not going to be for me. I'd rather spend my time watching other stuff.
Yeah, like Angels of Death, huh? Why'd you even give that show a shot? I reviewed it, you know?
Oh, I didn't know you reviewed it.
Oh, I did. I read their manga, and I was like, this is definitely based off a video game, is it?
Yeah.
Goes check.
It's
goes
based off
research.
Like a free
video game.
JRPG Maker game.
Yeah, like literally all the beats felt like that in the manga, so I was like...
Yeah, and the anime feels like that, too.
Yeah, and it's not really that compelling, is it?
Yeah, and it's like, yes, you know, game anime adaptations are always hard to make, you know, yada yada yada, but this did not feel like they put a lot of effort into figuring out, okay, how can we make this game mechanic a part of the story, or how can we write it out to actually make this a story told through anime, since you do storytelling differently by different mediums, but they've got different strengths and weaknesses. That's why, you know, some visual novels can be really affecting when you're actually choosing through paths that just don't work when you're watching them. So yeah, I've dropped Angels of Death, and I already talked about the Seven Senses of Reunion, and I decided to try 100 Sleeping Princes in the Kingdom of Dreams, and that was dull. Like, I was watching it before bed, and I was like, oh good, this is gonna put me to sleep. It's very definitely based off of the Notome game, and I don't know, Justin, but it always sets up a red flag for me when they bring in, you know, like, the female, you know, villain
Make
for the
her?
Viewer.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
okay.
Kind of like the blank slate for a good viewer, and they don't even give her a name. Like, that's always a bad sign.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. it doesn't always mean anything, but more times than not, it's a sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I did watch some other good shows aimed at girls, like Phantom in the Twilight. It's not based off of anything. I think it's an original Japanese-Chinese copro, but it's actually pretty engaging. The basic premise is that you've got a girl and her best friend traveling, I think they're both from China, to London, since Tawn, the main girl, like her great-grandmother, used to live in London, she opened a cafe there, so she's dreamed of going to London her entire life, you know, kind of having an adventure, so the two of them are going to school there for like a semester or so. But then an invisible goblin steals her luggage, which is obviously a problem, so Tawn is like chasing it down through the streets. and actually ends up at the cafe her grandmother founded, like, in her process of trying to catch the goblin. And, like, the guys there go and help her out, and it's immediately obvious to the viewer that these guys are not human. Like, one's a vampire, one's a werewolf, and another is, I think it's, like, the Chinese zombie thing. You remember in Princess Jellyfish, they had a gag about that at one point with the characters, like, hopping up and down?
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah, I just
vaguely.
Do not remember what the name for that is. So, yes, they're going out, and they're capturing... and they're getting her luggage back, and they make her forget about it. But at the end of the episode, like, her friend's been kidnapped, so obviously she's gonna have to go back to the hub to get more help. And, it's not super inventive, but giving Tong a personality and her own, like, initiative and directive does wonders. Like, I really enjoyed seeing it. It was like, this feels like kind of fluff I can get behind. This is fun. This doesn't make me feel like I'm supposed to fall in love with these guys. It feels like I'm supposed to empathize with the main character and then maybe fall for the guys. Although it's funny, since if you watch, like, the ending song, it shows Tawn and her best friend, you know, the girl, and it's like, wow, this looks like it could have come out of a hurry anime. Like, they're just so close there. It's like, you're telling me I'm not supposed to be shipping these two? Because if you watch the opening of the show, it's pretty clear you're supposed to ship Tawn with the vampire guy. Like, they show... they just suggest it visually over and over. You watch the ending and you're like, I wonder, is this another case where the staff is kind of split over who she should end up with or what? And then I also watched Homes of Kyoto, which is based off of the light novel series, I think, although Crunchyroll's got the manga license and manga adaptation of it. And it's a pretty quiet show so far. It's basically, there's a guy, he's the grandson of a guy who owns an antique store, and so he works in the antique store, and he's got a very good eye for antiques. So he's kind of teaching the viewer and the main character, like, oh, this is a teapot from XYZ era. You can tell from all these little details on it. Oh, this is a fake. It's a well-done fake, but because of this. And so it seems like kind of a nice, quiet show so far. Definitely not as engaging as some of the other shows that I'm watching, but I did like it. Although I'm joking that my Mondays are now Otome Mondays, since Phantom and Twilight, Holmes of Kyoto, and Kakuryo from last season all air on Mondays, so I'm like, this is my Otome Mondays. We're just watching girls' shows on Mondays.
Put it on your Twitter profile. Otome Mondays for Helen.
Yeah. I mean, Encouragement to Climb Season 3 also airs on Monday, and that's less of an Otome show, but it's also a show about four girls enjoying mountain climbing, which is good.
You said Encouragement to Climb.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's one of the other shows, right?
Yeah, the only thing is that Crunchyroll only has Season 1 and Season 3 now. Like, Season 2 has vanished. And I feel like people should probably watch Season 2, since Season 2 was kind of different from Season 1. It went from, like, being 3 minutes long to 15 minutes long, and the girls went on some adventures and they met some new people. So I feel like people should... But that's the thing, they can't watch it otherwise, because it's never been licensed here, aside from Crunchyroll.
Honestly, I'm blanking out on, like, it's been so long. I'm blanking out on mostly everything from Season 2, sadly.
Well, what happened in Season 2 was that they tried to climb Mount Fuji, and two of the girls made it, and two of the girls didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so... watching all of those, and then I've still got a few more shows I tried out, because I don't know what's going on in this season.
Yes! You got freedom! Freedom! That's what you have!
No, I don't. Justin, I am literally sitting in my floor surrounded by all the stuff I'm working on for Otakon. This is not freedom.
Okay. Never mind. Never mind.
Let's see. I'm also trying out Anglo Mice, Record of the Mongol Invasion. And I think the Mongols tried to invade Japan multiple times. This is from sometime in the 1200s where they were trying to invade Japan. So it's a whole bunch of convicts who, instead of getting death sentences, got shipped out to an island, which is in between Korea and Japan. And so they're supposed to be the first line of defense for Japan when the Mongols come over from Korea. And so that is exactly what the first episode does. You know, they're there. We were learning about all this. I am not very familiar with this era of history, so I don't know how accurate it is or not. But it looks like it's going to be a bloody good time, so I'm in for it. Definitely going to give it a couple more episodes. And then the last one is that Free has gotten a third season. And I've seen the first two seasons. But we've had two movies come out since then. We had High Speed, which was the one closer, I think, to the original light novel it's all based off of, with the boys in middle school. And then we also had a sort of OVA compilation movie thingy, which was set between season 2 and season 3, with the boys getting settled in, like, Haru and Makoto as they moved to Tokyo for college and stuff like that. And so I'm starting out season three, and I'm starting out the first episode. And there's like half a dozen guys I don't know. And three or four enough guys by this point that I'm starting to get them confused, because like everybody's got like the exact same body build, like the exact same. And they're just got like different heads and different hairs. And so I'm like, oh no, we've got like three guys with silver hair now. I can't keep them straight. I can do two. I can't do three. And there's a new character. Oh, I think he was part of the middle school story, who seems to just act like Haru from season one and look a lot like Haru from season one. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know if I'm interested enough to watch this. Especially since I remember when Free first started coming out, people said, oh, this is more like K-On than anything else, like these guys talk more like middle school girls. And I didn't really understand it at the time, but now I'm like, yeah, these guys don't really talk like college age guys. Like, they just don't. So I'm like, that it was drawing me out of the story a little bit. I'm like, don't know if I'm gonna continue. No. And it's not like I have time to make new things. Oh my god, I forgot about Hanabado. You weren't watching that one, were you?
I'm thinking about it. I'm probably gonna wait at least to the end of the season. Just maybe like watch it straight through.
Yeah, that one is the other female-led sports show of the season, and it's a team of girls, and they're playing badminton, and some of them have angst over badminton. Some of them have induced angst over badminton in each other. And so, yeah, I'll just see where that one's going. Like, so far, it's another case of, I like it, but my god, those girls need some new sports bras. Like, that is painful. So, prayer circle so that the girls get better sports bras for the series. I want you to know something about
If you say
just let
so.
Me tell you, if you have any sort of boobage and you try, like, moving around with it unsupported, like, running, it bounces up and down, and it's painful because it's pure fat. It is not pleasant. I speak from experience.
Helen, we talked a lot about the spring season, the summer season, and we have yet to get to the news.
Yeah, I know, our plan was originally just to focus on the summer season, but then we were like, oh crap, Anime Expo is happening at the same time.
Yay, Anime Expo! Oh yes, with all of the 110 billion, I'm sorry, thousand people attendees. Did you see like all the random pictures of people just like leaving the convention? On Twitter.
I definitely saw a lot of pictures of a very full main hall of Anime Expo.
Yeah. Like, I remember I went there, AX pretty crazy. I can only imagine. Like, I went to AX a couple years ago. I can only imagine how it was crazy this year because of all the stuff that happened there this year. Jeez. And, well, while a lot of stuff did happen there, we're specifically going to get to the licensing. And I guess we're going to start with J-Novel because they probably had some of the bigger announcements at the convention. And first
well,
one
funny
that would be
Lauren or Sandy,
go ahead.
Lauren in Space on Twitter was talking like that morning, being like, J Novel's gonna have a really big announcement, you know, like if you wanna be on my PR list, you know, do that. I'm like, oh, okay, J Novel Club is definitely announcing a print line then. Like the way she said it, like, yep, they're definitely announcing a print line.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was expecting that coming
so
out.
You, okay,
own
so
panel.
You were surprised. Okay, you were surprised. Okay.
No, I wasn't surprised. I was expecting it after I heard that from her.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't expect it. And that's mostly because, like, what, J-Novel's club started, what, like 2 years ago, right?
If,
like, I
want to no,
say it started like, just 2 years
they
ago.
They only had
right?
their first, like, a year and a half.
So you think it's a year and a half? Well, either way, that's. They go from digital to print that fast. That's pretty quick, and then we kind of talked about this before. I think it's kind of helped that the titles they brought over, also getting anime and stuff like that. That's probably been a big help. But yeah, and I guess also a big thing is one of their titles is doing really freaking well, which is why they're gonna release. Wait, is his name even right? In Another World with My Smartphone.
Yeah, that one got an anime, right. And they actually said that they've sold $50,000, not 50,000, they've sold 50,000 copies of the series
digitally. I don't think it's enough. If they sold that, I don't know if that'd be enough.
Yeah, so they've made more than 50,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of copies, though.
Yeah, and it's so unusual for us to get numbers as well, so I always just, like, know the number. powers in these things.
Yeah. And then it's important to note that they're not doing like a print on demand service. They're actually going to do some sort of quality control on it. So they're going to actually work with a publisher. I think it was Ingram, if I'm not mistaken. Either located in Tennessee. If I remember from the press release, I should tell you a good story. They said, I got the press release from Lauren. She said like 9 press releases, and I was just like, Lauren, this is insane. Nobody sends this.
Combine them together.
It's like, why? But yeah, so obviously a print announcement is big news. But they also obviously made some light novel news, actually not just light novel news, some novel news too. Some of the stuff they announced were also novels as well. So from in no particular order, they licensed, actually starting behind from behind this, Marchin the Werewolf, The Annals of Fate, Last and First Idol, JK.
We started off as Love Live fanfiction.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Whoa, well, okay, that's... Oh, wow, there you go. JK, which also is Josh Koshy. Why am I saying that wrong? Josh Koshy. Wow, I can't pronounce it. Whatever. JK Haru is a sex worker in another world. Sarah Gensoki, spirit... go ahead.
And you remember how I was complaining last podcast about the premise for one of their new light novel series?
Yeah,
JK
that was
Haru
the demon,
is, like, way the, worse, because... Like, their summary for it is, like, character being choked, and they're like, so, you're probably wondering how I got here.
It's like they take the meme, or what was it, that, wasn't that commercial, was it a commercial or something like that? Crap, I don't remember. It's that popular thing that was going around, it's like, hey, record scratch, it's probably wondering how I got in this situation. Yeah. All that good stuff. It's like that. I'll get back to that in a sec. Sarah Gensoki's Spirit Chronicles, Gear Drive, Sorceress Stabber Orphan, Kokoro Connect, and Amagi Brilliant Park. That's a lot of titles. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I think there was a queue I was interested in, Amagi Brilliant Park. Well, that's mostly because I watched the anime. So I'm definitely looking forward to reading it in light novel form. I think I had Last and First Auto on my list, but I did not know about the Love Life thing. I did not know about that. That's pretty bizarre. And kind of interesting in a way, too. I only chose March in the World because of the cover. The cover looks pretty sick. And Sorceress Stabber Orphan because it's a pretty classic title. And that's something I never would have thought would be over here. But we kind of live in a time where it's things you think won't get licensed. So... Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. JK Horror one is totally interesting because it feels like from internet discourse compared to how J-Novel announced it is definitely a difference. It's definitely a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like, the press release was not... The feedback for that was not great. Although, like, I was sending out the tweet for that, the press release, and I got a decent amount of retweets for that. Particularly from the Japanese audience. that was a thing.
Wait, you have Japanese... We have Japanese readers following your OST account?
No, I don't think I'm following them, but they just saw, like, somebody retweeted it, and then they decided to also retweet it because I was talking about a title that I guess that was from them. That was JK Haru. Which is important to point out. It's not a light novel. That's probably for the best, considering the content. It's just a straight novel from Hayakawa Publishing. They only publish novels. You've heard of Marduk Scramble?
Yeah.
Gurren Saga?
Yeah.
Yep, they publish those. So, between that and I actually know who's translating the novel. It kind of is making me interested at least checking it out just to see what the heck, like, what would convince Janelle to actually bring this over. But that's about my only take on it, because it does. Obviously, the premise does not sound all that exciting or great.
Yeah, I think the only one I'm really interested in out of that list is Kokoro Connect, but I'm not super familiar with a lot of the titles. Oh, and I did want to mention that they are going to continue working with Seven Seas to put out print versions of some other series, like they've done in the past. Their new service isn't going to stop that.
Right, and they also kind of teased that they are discussing bringing some manga over as well.
Yeah, I know he's been coy about that, and people have asked him in the past about that on Curious Cat.
Yeah, that's based on that. It makes me think that they'll probably either announce a manga title either end of this year or sometime next in 2019. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see. switching over to anime for a second. Made in Japan, which is a part of Section 23, which is basically Sentai. They've structured themselves weirdly. They've licensed some really odd titles. Like, they licensed Rescue Mario Watches Over Us, which you'll remember was only had until very recently. They had, like, boost sales on all the DVDs. They've also licensed Human Crossing, Blue Gale is a Bungle, Space Runaway Ideon, which I know is older, Armored Trooper Voltons, Hataraki Man, Pasquash, and Yumiro Pastir. And I was definitely interested in Hataraki Man and Bosquash, since Hataraki Man was one that I always mentioned in my notable Noitamina panel, but I couldn't really talk about it since the manga's never been licensed, and it's been on hiatus for ages, and this anime version of it's never been licensed either, so good. Next time I bring back my Noitamina panel, I can mention it again. And Bosquash came out in, like, 2009 or so, I think? Maybe a little later. It was when simulcast was really starting to get off the ground, but that one never got simulcast. So I was always kind of interested in the screenshots, but I never watched it. So, great, now I can watch this show, which I think is Blue Lots playing basketball on the moon. Which sounds great.
You're talking about what?
Yeah, but squash. They're basically robots playing basketball on the moon, I think.
Whoa. Really? Huh. No, that's not the sound of me sounding interested. No. Just, nuh-uh. It's not. Honest. I am totally interested in Megalobox getting licensed. Did not expect Viz to actually license it. For some reason, I did not expect Viz to actually license it, though.
I kind of forget that Viz occasionally puts out things which are not, like, knowledgeable.
Manga. Or, hey!
We were both thinking it.
Hey. I mean, they have One Piece, obviously. Jeez. Come on, Helen. I mean, Naruto ended already. Come on. But yeah, Megalobox, this has got to be probably the first, it's definitely a title that I love a lot. It's very fun, very good to watch. I kind of hope I kind of hope it looks a little better watching it on Blu-ray. I think it's going to be on Blu-ray, so.
Probably not. They did all that grainy filter work on this.
I'm just gonna whine about it until the end. But yeah, it's gonna be worth it. Kind of just hoping. I don't think they announced it's gonna be like a limited edition. Yeah, they just announced the license. But to do a limited edition, I'm probably gonna look to get it somehow. And then they also announced, although not surprisingly, they're gonna bring over the Diamond JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. The live action film, and they're gonna bring over the manga Diamond is Unbreakable, which they've been publishing the JoJo stuff in their nice hardcover editions, so that's not surprising. And they're gonna get the I think they already announced they had the Golden Wind anime, if I'm not mistaken. So yes, bunch of JoJo stuff, and I'm all excited for it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then let's see, and then, oh, jumping back to manga for a moment, since I think Funimation announced any anime licenses.
Oh, they did?
Oh, shoot, I did not know.
One of their titles was Zillion. That's a freaking...
Oh, right, yeah, that was from, like, 1987.
Old title. Apparently, that was actually licensed by studio. It was even used in, like, one of the Jackson music videos, Janet and Michael Jackson.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very, like, what? But, I think it was dubbed or something like that, but then they only, like, showed, like, the first 5 episodes, so it was never actually finished over here. Funimation only has the, they only have the subtitle version, so we're just gonna get the complete, subtitle version. It's coming in October. Other than that, there's some other announcements I didn't really care for them that much. It's not, look, if none of the announcements involve Banner of the Stars, I don't care. Don't think I forgot about that Funimation. Don't think I forgot. Oh, is that Sentai? But I think it's Funimation.
No, that one's Funimation. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think I forgot. The right one. This is like me continuously yelling at Crunchyroll, like, where is the latest season of Simple Gear, you cowards?
It's been a year, right?
It's been over a year.
Are the licenses that stubborn? Is Netflix hoarding it secretly or something?
I don't know. Yeah,
so bizarre.
Back on topic. Seven Seas, as like usual, licensed just an entire bucket's worth of manga. We've got Transparent Light Blue, which is a Yuri manga, A Certain Scientific Railgun, Astral Buddy, which is a spin-off manga, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Elma's Office Lady Diary, this is a long syllable there, which is also a spin-off manga, Sorcerer's Stabber, Orphan Heed My Call, which I think is an adaptation of those Orphan Light novels that G-Novel Club just licensed.
Yeah, it's just a manga. I don't know what version, but it's just the manga version. I don't care.
Then there's Beast manga and the Classmates manga, which includes both Dokusei and the two-volume Sotsukusei. And Dokusei was adapted into a movie a couple of years ago, which I think Aniplex has before. So if you didn't see it in theaters, you don't want to shell out for Aniplex level prices. You're screwed. So this Dragon Quest Monsters Plus manga, the Vision Maneuver Light Novel Series, Classroom of the Elite Light Novel Series, and Mushoku Tensei Light Novel Series, which I think they said was really highly requested on their monthly licensing surveys.
Yeah, both that, that and Classroom of the Elite were apparently highly requested
Those
titles
have both
on
had,
the survey.
Those have both had anime, right?
Yep. But I don't think I heard that many great things. It was a while ago, but I don't think I heard that many great things about Classroom of the Elite. But I could be
wrong.
Did
you watch that one?
No.
Not
that you did. I didn't watch that or Mushoku Tensei. Mushoku Tensei. Let's get over to Kodansha, who also had some announcements. A lot of announcements, actually. Although, this also combined a little bit of Vertigo. I have to figure out which ones are actually verticals and not Kodansha's. But the following Kodansha vertical announcements, more Seven Deadly Sins, because obviously that's a popular series. I guess 7 Days, that's what it's called, the manga. They're going to bring Boarding School Juliet in print, which we talked about in the last podcast.
And that one's definitely Kodansha since they've been doing the digital version.
Yep. Love and Focus, Renzo So No Sankaku. I don't know if it's good or not. Witch Hat Atelier, Tongari Boshi no Atelier. It sounds like somebody's excited about that. Glepnir, Quintessential Quintuplets, is now in print, so it went from digital to a print, and maybe eventually somebody's going to get an anime announcement in the near future. Is that why you're putting it in print? Anyways, Eden Zero, which this has got to be the most treatment I've ever seen out of any manga title ever. It's getting a print release, which is obviously not surprising or shocking in any way, shape, or form. Hiromashima's Playground, which I guess is a bunch of short stories of, let me make sure, or can I make sure? It's some short stories, fine Mashima. So yeah, more Mashima, more fairy tale, in case Eden Zero still isn't enough for you people. Fairy Tale Lightning Gods has been announced. Ten Dance, which is a yaoi title. What?
Or not exactly. Apparently that's...
Well, not exactly.
Apparently that's giving it a little much.
Oh, no. It's not a... Oh. And then, well, what about Yuri Is My Job? Which is also what they announced.
That one apparently is Yuri.
Okay, because those are apparently two things that Kodansha rarely licensed. Oh, and can't forget about Hijitoi My Hero. Because apparently stuff that Kodansha usually doesn't license, so it's getting some praise, online praise as far as I saw. But I guess more information came out about both of them, or some of those, right?
It's along the lines of, if this is supposed to be a BL license, it is not a very daring BL license, and it sounds like it runs in a mainstream magazine, not a BL magazine.
No. Okay. But okay, you got really excited about Witch Hat Attila, so please tell me about that.
It's very cute. It's got cute art. I mean, we've got a young girl, and she always wanted to learn magic, and now I think she's kind of forced to, because I think mom got turned into stone or something like that. Like, something bad has happened, and now she's kind of secret in that world, and I've only read a little bit of it, Justin, because it's not licensed, or it wasn't licensed at that point. But I really like the art for it, so I've been really hoping it would get a license. I've been jealously looking at the French covers of the series.
Well, no, you don't have to be jealous anymore.
Yep. And there was one title, I forget which one it was, and I think they said that was going to be, like, their first shrink-wrapped one, that they just...
Shrink-wrapped?
Yeah, they were going to have to shrink-wrap it to put in stores.
Oh, which one? Oh, really? It must be Quintessential Quintuplets, maybe, right?
No, it's not that one. It was one where I was wondering if that might be a vertical license, actually. It was, like, a guy who turns into a monster with a zipper down his back, and it's hollow inside. I totally forgot the name of this one. God.
Darn it, Helen. If only you had list all this properly.
Yeah, where is this on the script? I put everything else down. Justin, are you very meanly, like, not updating the script so I can't follow along?
I don't know what just happened.
Justin.
Wait, hold on. Well, I mean, it was there. Whatever. Well, don't worry about it. We'll find out what's going to get shrink wrapped or not.
Yeah, because I tried out a few chapters and I was like, oh yeah, this one's definitely shrink wrapped.
And then yeah. I guess.
So, talking about some more wholesome titles, we've got the Yen Press licenses. The first one that caught my attention, it's from The Creative Erased. It's Yume de Nitsa Anoko no Tame ni. I have no idea what they're going to translate this title as yet. We're just going for an overly long Japanese title for the moment. They've also got the Dive manga.
No, just go with the... You said the, You made a Nita, right? Nita, right?
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, that's how. Just say about a creator of Erased. Just go with that.
Huh. This entire title is just by the creator of Erased. But yeah, so they've got that, and they've also got the Dive manga. Had an anime like last year, but it's all actually based off of light novels, so that we've just got the manga adaptation of it now instead of the actual light novels. Monster Wrestling, Penguin Highway, and also The Night is Young, Walk On Girl, which are two novels which are being made into movies. Like, The Night is Short, Walk On Girl is going to be showing mid-August around here?
Yeah, pretty soon, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think in August.
Yeah, and the titles are different for some reason. Like, apparently people translate them differently, but I get a very different impression from The Night is Young versus The Night is Short. Like, I get very different impressions from there, so... Hmm. And then, they're also getting the novel Mirai, which is connected to Mamoru Hosoda's movie of the same name. Or... It's either Mirai or Mirai of the Future.
Mirai the Future. Oh, I don't think they came out with a name quite yet, right?
It doesn't have a US release yet, so we probably don't have an official English localization yet, but... Yes, so... We've got those. We've also got Asato Asato's 86 novels. 86 is the name of the series. It is not... We did not license 86 novels from one person at once. The Nyankees manga, which I've seen screenshots of on Twitter, which is hilarious. It's a bunch of street cats. I think they're gangsters. And so it's just very funny. Su Minazuki's Plunder manga. And then Homura Kawamoto and Katsura Saiki's Kakiguri Twins manga. I don't think this is
more
related
Kakiguri.
To...
More
Kakiguri. I don't think it's related to Kakiguri, though, is it?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I mean, yeah.
And there's
the manga.
Happy
yep,
Sugar Life.
I guess it's like a spinoff, of course.
Yeah, and then there's Happy Sugar Life, which has an anime that's airing right now, and I think that's the one about the Andiri. I don't think that's the one about the Shotokan.
It's the one Bungo Stray Dogs novels. It's the one that has so many varying opinions.
And then we have the Bungo Stray Dogs novels.
Is this the novels from Bungo Stray Dogs?
From Anime News Network.
Yeah, okay, fine. Alright.
You check the link. And then the Wuku story novels from Wanwan Manji and Kuchimo. So, yeah, I have not seen two more obvious pseudonyms in my life.
What's up?
I mean, Wanwan Manji, that's basically like... That's basically like Big Man Dog Noise, basically.
Oh.
Something close to that. Yeah, so Gembrus is putting out a lot again. And thankfully, it doesn't look like there's too much I'm interested in because, oh my god, I've got too much to review for Gembrus anyway.
Oh, so that's what you think. Years from now, a year later. Hey, look at all these titles that Gembrus is coming out this month. Want any?
I mean, maybe I'll become more interested in them later, but looking at these initial descriptions, it's like, okay, I think I can sleep on a lot of these.
Yeah, kind of in general, there's probably a couple titles I would check out from any of the publishers. Maybe Transparent Light Blue, maybe Classroom of the Elite, just to see what all the hype's up. If that and Musou
Tensei... Oh, I was talking just about Gembrus novels there, not about like, everything we've talked about.
Okay, sorry, I was getting like a general, because I think that's about all the big publishers, right? We covered all of them, right?
I think we've gotten everyone, basically.
Yeah, so I was kind of like just doing a general wrap up, honestly. Because there were a lot of licenses. Like, geez.
Yeah, like, there's a couple more announcements that came out of Anime Expo. Like, Ogretsuko is getting a second season in 2019, which is going to be pretty fun. And you put one on there, I think. Sorry, I'm asleep. Okay, yeah, you take it the next. You start with something else while I get my bearings.
All right, fine. I was just going to point out that considering the things getting adapted, like either new scenes or adaptions, The Sending Story is getting a live action series. So going from manga to anime to live action TV series. As always, I'm very when it comes to things getting to turn to Japanese live action, I'm always worried.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I usually just can't get pumped up for any of that. I really can't. I guess we'll go into some sad news, which I ended up finding this out pretty late. Hiroshi Kajiyama, he was a character designer for a bunch of video games, and he was talking about Seven Senses of the Reunion. He did character designs for that. He did character designs from one of my favorite series growing up, the Golden Sun series. Like, that was the game that got me into RPGs back in the day. I was not very much into RPGs back then. And obviously, he was just a character designer, created the enemies and stuff like that. He was always just one part of the team, but he was a part of the team.
Yeah, so what Justin's like, getting at is that he's passed away.
Yeah, it's pretty... send my condolences to him and his family.
And he should not be confused with the voice actor of a similar name, Hiroshi Kamino. Since when I saw you posting that news at first, I had double takes. I was like, wait a minute, I should have heard about this, but...
Oh.
Yeah, the two people have similar names, but not to be confused.
And then, this is basically my real house. And Helen, I had to really shout this out, so make sure your ears are... Anime Festival is back!
Wait, I thought you were not happy about this.
Oh yeah, that's right, I'm not happy about this. Alright, so, to give the details, this is a Repop Anime Expo collaboration where apparently they decided that they wanted to have an anime fest across New York City Comic Con during New York City Comic Con. That's in October. There's so many problems with this that I'm not even sure where to start. I guess the first thing is, why is Repop getting into this after they've been away from it since, like, what, 2011 or 2012? some long ago time where they eventually combined, they got to the point where they ended up combining it, Anime Festival with New York Comic Con, and it was pretty bad. It was kind of ugly. And then in the end, they say, there's no point. Why do we have both of these? So we're just going to get rid of it. Now they're trying this again, but I guess they're teaming up with Society of Anime Expo people. Let's stick with that. So yeah, teaming up with them to do this convention that is nowhere. I mean, it's not quite. It's a distance away from the actual Javits Center. Like, it's at least a good like walk. It's not convenient to get to at all. So just the logistics of this confusing. And then once again, and I had to make sure to check the regular Comic Con. They're only doing like individual passes.
So only day passes.
Yeah, just day passes. No weekend passes. No 4-day passes. You have to buy Thursday or Friday, and I'm just, it's very annoying. It's not. I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know why they're doing this. It's pretty annoying. And then for the anime tickets, they're actually kind of cheap. They're like $20. So like reasonably, they're actually reasonably priced. Yeah, but like I said, it one reason why, because this feels like such a late announcement. It's gonna be October before you know it, and they're putting it somewhere. Putting it like at a pier, like next to the water and everything. Like what the heck, guys? Something about this just does not. Is this gonna do well? I don't see it doing well. And then big elephant in the room is that this is also gonna encroach on Anime New York City, which is gonna happen in November, from the Crunchyroll people. So this is mystifying. I don't get it. I really don't. This doesn't seem like this seems like a waste for everybody involved in this. And I'm curious to see what publishers are actually going to join up for this. I'm also curious if they're going to get any significant Japanese guests, as they said they would.
Yeah, they are starting this a little late to do like any sort of planning.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're like midway through the year, and it's July, and October's going to be here before you know it. Why are you... And then not even just that, like they're putting it so, it's not that close from each other. Like, what's the, like, I guess you can feel the separation, again, granted, you felt the separation from Comic-Con to Anime Festival when it had, like, different, like sections and everything at the Javits Center, but this is literally at a different, area. I don't get it. I really don't. And then, between that and Liberty City, it's a small convention, but it's another New York City con. Liberty City Anime Convention, that's happening in August. This is going to be here soon enough. It's just too many conventions in New York City.
Which is definitely not what you were saying a couple of years ago.
I know, right? Like, literally, like, we had, like, just Comic-Con. That was it. Now we have a plethora, and it's not going to work out. It can't work out this way. Just can't.
And there can only be one. Honestly,
yeah, and not just necessarily just one. It's just that, and if you understand what kind of scale you're going for, then fine. But like, this is greed pop. Not gonna just go small. they're gonna try to do something. They have to plan this behind the scenes and everything. So they're not doing this without having any significant guests coming to their convention. And if they are, then people are just wasting their $20 right now to go next to the sea. Or the river. Yes, the river. I'll go with the river.
So can we expect you to attend on for a single day?
Probably.
Since you are in New York.
Probably. If they let me in express. That's the only way. That's kind of the only way I'm going, honestly.
If they don't let him in his press, Justin is going.
Well, that's not true. I did go... Well, one time I did go to Comic-Con. I just paid for the ticket.
One time?
Just for one day. Now, it's just that I've been to Comic-Con for, like, since it started, so, like, I just can't... I feel like just ignoring it all the time is bad, so I just try to figure out if I can go, like, one of the days. But if not, it is what it is. But, this is definitely... This is too many conventions, so I have to figure that one out for sure.
And so, I guess with that... I feel like we should just move on to some funny news and wrap up this podcast.
I thought this was weird news.
Well, it's weird and funny.
Weird news.
Okay, it's weird, but I think it's also funny that Bakugo from My Hero Academia now owns part of the moon.
I'm sorry, he does what?
Okay, so apparently people can just apply to own, like, or at least name different areas of the moon. I'm not so much sure it's owned, since I think there's international treaties about who owns the moon. So it's probably just named, but the manga copy of My Hero Academia got, like, a weird certificate in the mail that someone could, like, purchased it, the naming rights to an acre on the moon and named it, like, Katsuki Bakugo or something, which I just think is pretty hilarious.
Oh my god. So we shouldn't expect any, like, tantrums or explosions on the moon anytime soon, right? Or we should be expecting that, right?
I don't think this is canonical that he owns part of the moon, so we're probably good.
Alright. And then I guess the last bit of weird news, obviously Shinpachi, what you gonna say, Helen?
I wasn't gonna say
what's
anything.
What's up, Helen? Okay, never mind, Helen. I'm not gonna randomly just be like,
I'm just
hey,
putting stuff in there that you like. I'm just putting Gintama stuff in here for you to talk about.
Yes, and for me to whine about, that's what you want to do.
Next so time, I'm not telling you to look at these beforehand. I'm gonna make you just go blind.
The significant weird or obviously oddity of Shinpachi is that he's always wearing glasses, and the running joke is that he is nothing without his glasses. Like, literally, like, they even had, like, a live action, or, I think it's more actually say a claymation version, where they ended up airing the entire segment where they didn't actually have Shinpachi himself there, just had the glasses, and that was Shinpachi. No actual human, just the glasses. Hey, Shinpachi, I'm just the glasses! Oh, whatever. Hi, Shinpachi. That's it. So, they decided to ditch the glasses and give him contacts. That's the hook. He is now glassesless, alongside other Gintama characters.
Well, the hook is that disturbing. You can now buy Gintama-branded contacts in Japan.
But I
can't.
And
lucky people can even apply to win, like, the cardboard standee that they're using for that. Which reminds me of the time that Crunchyroll lost their Gintama standee. There, I think it was Gintoki?
Yep, it was Gintoki. But Helen, I can't buy any of this stuff.
You wear glasses though, don't you?
Okay, but where am I buying any of this stuff?
Justin, do I need to introduce you to proxy sites?
Maybe some other time. Honestly, Helen, I think we've just talked a lot today.
Yeah, we've talked
I really think we did.
It is
time for me to actually catch up on some other summer season shows. That's what it is time for me to do.
But then it's just going to mean that our podcast is inaccurate before you even release it.
Don't worry about it. So, for everybody else, this is going to be it for the podcast. Come on, just move into the subscribe. Be it Apple Podcasts, Android, or add us to your Feedly or whatever RSS thing you use, or subscribe to us email. Also, shout us out in the comments. You don't have to bug me on Twitter at @Kami_Naomi, but you can if you want to. I probably won't respond though.
I probably just won't respond.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to bug me or ask me about the 10 bonus shows I'm watching this season, you can find me at Grumpy Dreamer on Twitter, and you can also find me talking about various manga on the other podcast of Manga in Your Ears, where we will not be covering Banana Fish next week because of this, but hopefully we'll be covering that in the future.
Just go to your used bookstore and find a copy of Banana Fish. Just go do that.
You don't understand how good these comics are, Justin.
Just do it. Just Dow it. Go to
also,
your local
Kindle. This manga paper stock from the early 2000s, not the best quality.
And yes, they're gonna reprint that. Beautiful. Absolutely fantastic. So, till next time, peeps. Bye.
Bye.